in association with inthevalleyshook.com, the Go Show. It's back, the original LSU podcast, coming to you on Thursday evening, September 26, 2013. Looking ahead to LSU, Georgia, 2:30 p.m. CBS kickoff. That's 2:30 p.m. Central, 3:30 Eastern time for you East Coast Tiger fans out there. We are here tonight. Kerry Munch, your host, Mr. Stephen Baker, joining us for the first time since the early August edition. What's up, Stephen? How you doing, man?
Not a whole lot. How's it going, guys?
It was good seeing you Saturday, by the way, bud.
Well, thanks for having me. I only get to about one game a year, and it was fun, a little bit wet, but I always enjoy the tailgating, so it was fun to be on campus.
We appreciate you stopping by and spending at least some of the day with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem. Anytime. Now that I remember it, but I know Podcat doesn't. So the man, the myth, the legend behind the scenes pushing the buttons. Had a little bit too much bourbon. I don't want to say he had a little bit too much bourbon. He had fun. Podcat had himself a nice time Saturday. I'm sure he felt it Sunday, or unless he just felt it Saturday afternoon and slept it off about Sunday, he was fine. That's what I like about tailgate. When you drink all day, it's usually by like 4 o'clock, you get that hangover headache. And by like Sunday, you're good. You're just very hungry. You want a greasy McDonald's burger. That's my case. So anyway, what are we here talking about? We're here talking about LSU and Georgia. I'm looking back a little bit on LSU and Auburn as well. We'll spend a little bit of time on that. Just me and Steven in the saddle tonight. We have no guest. The show kept getting pushed back all week because of everybody's prior commitment. So, nobody from Georgia was able to join us, and we apologize for that. So you have basically stuck with me and Steven for the next 35 to 40 minutes or however long we continue to talk. So, without further ado, here we go. Ways to get in touch with the show. As always, you can visit the site, namely www.andthevalleyshook.com is the name of the site for FSB Nation college sports blogs. Hit us up on Twitter. You can tweet at the site at Valley Shook. If you want to tweet any recommendations, questions to the show, you can tweet that at me. I'm at Go Show Kerry, GeauxShow. Carey. Is Twitter case sensitive by any chance? I have no idea. Okay,
it's so not.
Just wanted to make sure because I have some of that stuff capitalized, some not. Just wanted to be sure. Stephen, I can hit you up on Twitter as well. Is that right?
Yes, I'm at ATVS Poser, POSEUR, the
Very
old punk
good.
Spelling. So if you know what a poser is, you can find me.
Yes, you could. There we go. You can also like us on Facebook if you want to go that route, but. It seems to be a dying breed, and we'll continue on with the twits. And podcast will keep you updated. Visit the site daily for breakdowns on previous games. Look ahead. Podcast always puts the synopsis of Lunch with Les on there. Billy's always doing stuff, bouncing back and forth with Georgia fans. And always Poser, you're always giving your opinions on various topics throughout the week. So here we go. Looking back at the Auburn game, LSU wins it 35-21. Another fast start for LSU. LSU is really, they've come out the gates and started strong in every game. TCU included, even though the score didn't really indicative of that. A couple of red zone mishaps led to just a couple of field goals. You know, but if we score touchdowns, we're up 21-0 in that game too. Or at least 21-3. Or 21-7. Actually 21-3 because they went down and kicked the field goal before they returned a kickoff for a touchdown. So really just, LSU just continues to start fast and, this game Saturday looked like UAB and Kent State to start out. The weather was sloppy. LSU didn't really do a lot throwing the football in the first half because they really didn't need to. Auburn got the ball to start and drove down the field a little bit. LSU made a play. I think Auburn went for it on a fourth down on that first series. Yeah, and they fumbled the ball, but I don't think he would have gotten it anyway. LSU had good penetration on that play. And LSU in three plays scores with Jeremy Hill. Next position, Auburn, they fumble that snap. We get the ball at the 10 or the 11, and Jeremy Hill takes it in the first carry. And, after that, it was pretty much just kind of, ho-hum kind of a game. Another bad game for penalties, a lot of false starts again. I don't know what you really want to attribute that to, but it's something that needs to be corrected before they go on the road this Saturday. And defensively, 430 yards, 21 points. I mean, would it have been differently? The weather been a little bit different had they not gotten complacent? I don't know.
I think the 430 yards is a little misleading. I think Auburn only had like something like 80 or 90 yards in the first half total. Then they got like 150 in the third quarter and then like 200 in the fourth quarter. This is definitely the sign of a defense letting up. There is the question of whether that's because of LSU's depth. So I don't want to completely write it off, but when LSU's defense had to be great, it was in the first half. It was. It was like the Kent State game. It actually took LSU 17 minutes to get to a 21-0 lead instead of 15 minutes. So Auburn put up more of a challenge. But the team just went into cruise control once it went up big. I'm not too concerned, particularly in the fourth quarter. You could tell the LSU defense was giving up yards for time because they were just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah, I guess what really kind of frustrated me was in the third quarter, giving them that 94-yard drive after that fake field goal.
I actually like the call of the field goal, mainly because it could have been the knockout blow. You go for the jugular, win the game right there. It would have broken the back of Auburn. And also, if you don't get it, hey, Auburn's pinned on their own 5-yard line. No big deal. The fact that after that play failed, he was showing faith in the defense for the defense not to come through, then to surrender that 96-yard drive. That was worrisome. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And that gave Auburn new life. If the defense would have come in there, gotten a 3-and-out, LSU has the ball on the 50-yard line and probably scores again. Once again, you still have your 28-point lead. The game's over. I agree. That was the biggest problem of the game right there. The defense had to sack up right there. It was still a football game, and they failed to deliver. So that's definitely a concern because Georgia, they're going to score points. They're a really, really good team, and you're not going to keep them off the scoreboard. And I expect to see intensity the entire game, but at the same time, if you can only hold Auburn to 21 points, you're not holding Georgia to 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my mind would have been put a little bit more at ease had LSU stopped Auburn after that fake field goal, because I was in the stands. I was livid. I didn't like the call. I get your point, Steven, but to me, with a 21-point lead, before that, I mean, even on the third down, we did throw the ball. We just had to throw it away. But just kick the field goal. I mean, I don't want to see him waste a call like that, because I thought it was a good call. I had no problem. The call was good. I like the execution of it. It was too many yards to go, and I'd rather see them save that for like a 4th-and-3 against Georgia or Alabama or somebody like that, instead of wasting it against Auburn with a 21-point lead. That's just that's the problem I had with it. But I get what you're saying about going.
Do you think other teams don't expect us to do fake field goals? I mean, it's not like we're not right. Showing them something we didn't have.
True.
And it's really – it was the position of the football. If he would have done that on the 25-yard line on 4th-and-10, I would have been ticked. But on the 15, I have no problem with it because it's a field position game. If it doesn't work, really the field position might actually be more valuable than the field goal at that time.
Mm-hmm. I buckle easy. I definitely see your point. It makes sense that when you explain to me that way.
Yeah, it was low risk. It was low risk, right. And it didn't pay off. And I can see that the bigger problem there was not the play call, is that the defense came out there and didn't answer the call.
Right. I think that's really pissed me off more than anything.
And that can't happen. This defense is something we've relied on for years. It's weird. This looks like a really, really good LSU team. But it doesn't look like a team that we know, because we're used to LSU having an at best mediocre offense and an incredible defense. And right now it looks like we have a good defense and this incredible passing offense. We're good in a totally different way, and I don't think LSU fans are quite know how to deal with it yet.
It's a little different.
We just look like a different team. This is not an LSU team that I know.
Yeah, and it was – and even – I mean, really, if – and I, really, when you go back and you watch that fourth quarter, had LSU really wanted to continue to put their foot on the gas, and maybe the weather had a lot to do with this, but Auburn started putting 8-9 guys in the box. LSU could have thrown the ball to Travis Dixon all day long if they wanted to, and probably could have put 49 points and kept throwing. But I think in the rain like that, I think they kind of probably withheld – Auburn was never really in a threat to win. I mean, they kind of made some mini threats, but I mean, LSU answered the bell. They answered the bell every time.
I will say that every time that Auburn scored, LSU came back and scored a touchdown. That was the encouraging thing to see. It wasn't the defense might not have answered the bell, but the offense certainly did. And right. Once again, that goes back to this is a really good team. It's just good in a totally different way. That's not what the 2011 team did. That's not what the 2010 team did. What they responded by having the defense come out and shut things down and maybe mm-hmm. score points on their own. It was the offense we didn't trust.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday at 6 o'clock there's gonna be a lot of questions answered about who this team is. I mean, while Auburn's a team, you know, moving in the right direction, let's see what this team does on the road. I mean, their first true road game. I mean, although, you know, Dallas.
I agree. We'll find out a lot about this team this weekend. And I'm really excited about that. This is actually the most interested I've ever been in a game. I don't know how to phrase that. I've been more excited for other games. LSU can lose this game and everything's still in line. You can still win the SEC. You can still win the national title. So right. I'm not like super nervous about it. It's just that I don't know anything about this team. It's just so different to us. I'm just fascinated by what's going to happen. And I have this feeling that none of us know anything. And that's really kind of cool. We're not used to this. We've kind of gotten in the rhythm under Miles, as crazy as he is and all that kind of thing. We know what to expect from LSU teams. This team is entirely different.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a different animal, and it's gonna be an awesome showdown. I mean, you've got so many factors going through this game. This is star studded right here. You got Jeremy Hill versus Todd Gurley. You've got Aaron Hill versus Zach Mettenberger. You got the top two quarterbacks in the SEC right now as far as passing efficiency goes. I don't know.
Yeah, two best running backs. We have probably two of the best receivers. Young, talented defenses. It's not as many headliners out there, but it's not like. The two teams have talent on the defensive side of the ball. I'm really excited.
The young defense, and you spoke to the lack of depth, you know, by the Auburn game. That's true. That's why, I mean, I think Ego and Freak probably, I think, played 90% of the snaps, and that's something we're not usually accustomed to seeing with defensive linemen.
That is incredibly concerning.
That's very worrisome.
And some of it, though, is was it because we were running against a spread team? Nick Marshall, he's a running quarterback. He likes to get outside. We just didn't trust the young guys against that. We just kind of left our best players out there. Aaron Murray, Georgia, it's a traditional offense. They're a pro-style offense. Yeah. But also that means they're not playing that fast break style, which means we're going to have a chance to substitute.
Right.
Against Auburn, it's a lot more difficult to substitute. I think Miles might have said it's not worth – the procedure penalty. It's not worth the risk of substituting. Here are my guys. I'm just leaving this unit in. Mm-hmm. That could have been it. It might not have been that he doesn't trust guys like Bain or I'm trying to think of who our other backups are. It's like what
Quentin Thomas, Locatier.
So I don't know if it's a matter of trust. I think it might have been a matter of we know Auburn's going to try and snap the ball in 10 seconds. We're just going to stick with this 11.
Yeah. So, but I mean, in saying that, I'm also very encouraged by some of the players I've seen on defense so far. I mean, you saw Tre'Davious White drop a pick six. I mean, when he was in the game, he was all over the field.
Tre'Davious White is going to be a star.
He is.
He's not our best corner just yet. I still think Mills is a better corner right now, but the end of the year, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
The real problem we had is that we had problems with free safety. Michael Eugene is a talented player, but he was not given good over the top help. There was two long bombs. To Marshall's credit, they were perfect throws.
He did. Sometimes, he nice throws.
Sometimes a guy just makes the throw, but on the other hand, the free safety's got to give better help than that. If you could move Eugene to the nickel slot, if he becomes more of like our honey badger kind of player, we could mm-hmm. move. You know, one of the young guys, another freshman in there, you know, Robinson or Peterson or Johnson, you know, put someone out, Avery Johnson. So
he's a receiver.
I don't know if they were.
You're thinking of Corey Thompson or Ricky Jefferson. Status on Ronald Martin. Ronald Martin was out. They held him out against Auburn. I don't know what his status is for Georgia, but I mean, that's a guy with at least with some experience back there, you know, a little bit more so.
I like Eugene. I just don't like him as a free safety. Or maybe you make Lost in the free safety, even though that you kind of lose his hitting.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah, you're right. But still, you know, there's still some things that I saw. You know, I saw Kwan fly all over the field again on Saturday. I mean, I think he was, I don't know how you felt about his performance. I thought every time I saw him, you know, running sideline to sideline making plays.
I think Kwan is slowly becoming our best linebacker. Mm-hmm. He definitely has the highest ceiling. I know DJ Welter has become like a popular whipping boy. I don't think he's quite as bad as everyone's saying. I know why he's out there. He's the kind of guy who's always in the right place. But he's not a guy who makes plays. He's not going to, you know, Kwan Alexander has the ability to blow a play up. DJ Welter's not going to do that. On the flip side, DJ Welter's not going to let a guy go 15 yards down the field and then make the tackle. He's, mm-hmm. he's keeping his gap responsibility. He's funneling the play to guys who can make the play. He is where he's supposed to be. And sometimes you just need guys who aren't spectacular athletes, who aren't making the big hits, who just play the position and, you know, other guys make your, let your stars make star plays. But I am surprised that we haven't seen Lewis take over that position or even Debo Jones. What's happened to him?
Yeah, I don't know. He came out, I mean, first few games early on last year when he got in, he was making plays and just really hadn't seen or heard too much from him at all.
I'm surprised that those two guys haven't taken his position yet, but at the same time, I'm actually satisfied with Welter. I don't think it's the big concern that a lot of people – the linebacker's actually been really disappointing. He's been Barrow. He just has not played well.
Yeah.
And that needs to clean up. I realize some of his numbers last year are a function of playing next to Minter, but still, he needs to start making big plays. That's what we rely on him for.
Without question. You know, that being said, I mean, I think, you know, just from a one angle view of me looking in at it, I think a young defense probably matches up a little bit better against a team like Georgia who runs more of a pro style set, not the spread a little bit. I think that kind of sets up a little bit better for us. But like you said, Georgia's definitely going to move the ball. You know, we definitely see, I mean, Tre'Davious White's now moved into the starting cornerback position. You know, solely, there's no either or him or Collins. It's him. So,
yeah.
And with Murray's thrown 82 passes through three games. So, I got to think they're going to pick on a true freshman a little bit, you know.
And I'm confident with that. They're going to pick on Tre'Davious White. And is anyone really worried about that? I think he can take it.
I think he can too.
And I think you're right. I think we would match up a lot better against a pro style offense. This is we're a defense that's built to beat Alabama. And Georgia looks a lot more like Alabama than TCU does. And I realize that Georgia is a better offense, but sometimes style of play matters. Style of play always matters. We'll worry about Texas A&M when Texas A&M comes to town, but I'm actually pretty confident that LSU's defense can hold Georgia not in check, but keep them within striking distance for our offense to win the game.
Oh, I think so too. And Georgia's defense, they're not setting the world on fire either. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, it's not Texas A&M's Matador Ole defense, but it's bad. Defense has had serious problems. But they've got beat by two different kind of offenses. Clemson is more of an Auburn. You know, they run the ball outside. They, you know, do that fast break kind of stuff. And South Carolina's more of a traditional style offense.
Right.
And they couldn't stop either. So. LSU coming to town, we look a little bit more like South Carolina, but we got more playmakers.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, I think, you know, if LSU can, you know, offensively, if we win the toss, I'd like to see us take the ball maybe for once. And I'm not, you know, I've always been a proponent of deferring, but I mean, shit, we've been starting out fast every game. Let's get out on the road. Let's jump out 7-0.
I agree.
Let's get Beckham and Juice going, and if they want to stack the box and they want to try to focus on stopping Jeremy Hill, guess who's wide open over the middle? It's Travis Diggs.
And we're a different team. I mean, last year, defense on the field first. You put your best unit out there. It's the offense. You go out there, you make a statement with your offense, put 7 points up the board. I agree entirely. And I know we haven't really mentioned him yet, but I once again have to talk about my total man love for Jarvis Landry. If I ever meet Jarvis Landry, I will kiss him full on the mouth with tongue. That guy is amazing. He's been such a spectacular player. The ball goes his way, I know he's going to catch it.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
He got robbed of a touchdown on one of the worst holding calls.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Yeah, I finally went and saw the replay yesterday. It was god-awful.
And honestly, it didn't phase the team at all. And I think that was one of the best signs for this team. Terrible holding call. They go back, score a touchdown anyway. Later on in the start of the second half, when Mettenberger finally throws his first pick of the season, and you know what? It's going to happen. It was Mett's fault. Next time he gets the ball, he throws the exact same pass for, I think, a 15-yard gain. And that's the kind of attitude I like out of Mett. It's not that he has no memory. He remembered and wanted to show that he could do it. And that's awesome. This is a guy, he is hitting on all cylinders. He is a cocky, cocky quarterback right now. And he knows he can do it. Also, with those receivers, he knows he can rely on those two. It gets a little bit sketchier once you get past that, but.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm really anxious to see. I think that's going to be definitely going to be one of the major storylines, is what kind of chip is he going to have on his shoulder, you know, going back to Georgia, you know, playing against a team that, you know, let him go for his, you know, don't get me wrong, his fault. But, you know, like you said, it's real exciting to see what's going to happen, how we're going to play on the road, how he's going to respond. We'll find out for sure if he's really up for the challenge and really going to be a primetime player, not to steal a word from Pete Martell, but a PTP, maybe.
You know? I don't think his return to Georgia is going to be that big of a deal, other than the fact that it's a tough place to play. It's an SEC road trip. But, I mean, his mom works in the Georgia athletic department. They're not – I don't think there's a whole lot of bad blood there. Most Georgia fans I've seen have been – you know, they kind of wished him well. They thought Aaron Murray was a better quarterback. They chose him, you know, see you on the road kind of thing. I don't think there's as much bad blood there as there is with some other transfer situations. And, I mean, it's going to be a hostile crowd because – you know, Georgia's a tough place to play, but I don't think it's going to be focused on, like, we hate Mettenberger and we want to see you fail. I that doesn't really strike me as a very Georgia kind of thing to do. They're kind of an Ole Miss who is good. So, like, they're a little bit too snotty to do that.
Yeah, very well said. So let's see. Where are we going to move on from here? And what do you basically think this game boils down to?
I think it boils down to the fact that LSU just needs to get a few stops. I think Georgia's offense kind of plays into that. I think LSU is going to be able to make not a ton of stops, but they're going to be able to slow down the Georgia offense. And I'm not sure Georgia can slow down LSU at all. Their defense does not look that good. I think LSU is going to abuse Georgia's defense, and Georgia is just going to put up their standard points like they always do. And I think that's the big key, is that strangely enough, our defense is still better, and I think that's the difference in the game.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really kind of anxious to see him. I'm a little nervous about the defense and us going on the road, but you know, I think back to, you know, this is a totally different animal, but I think back to 2011, and I think back to the way Chavis defended West Virginia in air spread, and how we just kind of let them accumulate yards and yards and yards. And knowing that we could score, and I don't know, I'm not saying that that's what we were doing against Auburn.
But there is an element to that. I do think it's sort of like the whole jiu-jitsu. You know, you don't, you know, you use their strength against them. You just kind of lean back. I hate the term bend but don't break, but that's kind of what we do. But also, the defense is still very good. We're just used to incredible excellent. And it's not incredible. It's still very good. I think we're still top 25 in both scoring and yards allowed. So let's not jump off the train yet that suddenly we can't defend at all. This is still a very good defense. It's just not the dominating unit we're used to. Very good can still win you a title, especially when you have this offense.
Especially in the day and age of this of football today, without question. Very good. But an offense that can score 30 points a game, that's going to win you 11, 12 games every year. So, I mean, I'm really anxious to see how the defensive line plays against, on Saturday. Can we get pressure with the front four? Jordan Allen's been wreaking havoc all season long so far. I want to see him continue to progress. I'd like to see Freak and Ego, get through the backfield. Let them suck up some blocks, maybe bring in a backer on a blitz here and there, and just kind of rattle him a little bit. I want to see him, hit Todd Gurley in the mouth early, so you know, it's like you said, like what we're talking about, just to reiterate what kind of what we're talking about earlier, just, you know, I'd like to see him get the ball first, a good fast start. You know, I'm curious to see how Georgia's going to come out defending us. Are they going to come out focused on that? That's what I like about Jeremy Hill coming out and running rough shots since he's been back. You know, is Georgia going to come out and with the purpose of trying to stop him and making the mistake of loading the box? Because God, I hope they do. And I hope every team tries to do it.
It's almost a pick your poison. I mean, if you load the box to stop Jeremy Hill, we're going to beat you up top. Our receivers are too good. But if you don't, if you try and stop the passing game, then Jeremy Hill is going to eat you alive. So, hey, whatever way you line up, that's fine with us. We'll beat you either way.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty key. And also, what's going to be interesting is I think you're right about the defensive line. I think we'll be able to get pressure on the quarterback from our linemen. If you look at the TCU game, when Paul Hall was in the game, he was kind of a sitting duck the entire time. And it wasn't until Boykin came in the game that we really started having problems with the TCU offense. Murray, he's not that fleet of foot. He can scramble a little, but he's much more Paul Hall than Boykin or Marshall. I think this is going to be one of the first – this is the first time since the opening week that the LSU front four is going to be able to pin their ears back and just go at the quarterback and not have to worry as much about contain.
Yeah, well said. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm getting giddy. We're here. It's kind of fun doing a show kind of this late in the week. I don't like to make a habit out of it. We're just, you know, we're talking about the game. It's only 2 days away. It's, you know, I'm a little pissed off. I got to listen to Vernon Gary for 3.5 hours, but that's, you know, those are the breaks.
Yes. You know, sorry. Life gets in the way sometimes.
Right.
But Thursday worked better than Tuesday. So I was able to show. So,
yeah, it's a good deal. It's good because otherwise I've been talking to myself.
Yeah, and you do that a lot anyway, and we're worried about you. So
I know. So the conversations I have with myself in my work truck, you know, just I don't know. Go show pick 'em. Let's for those that don't know, we're gonna wrap up the show. Unless you got anything else.
No, we don't really do score predictions, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'd say that.
Yeah.
How about this? We win if they play this game 100 times. We win at 65.
Gotcha. All right, we'll cover it in the pick 'em too. So. Go Show Pick'em for those Go Show fans listening to us that have never heard of Go Show Pick'em before. This is what we do every week. Podcast posts the games on the ATVS website every Tuesday or Wednesday. We pick roughly 10 to 12 games against the spread. You can compete for weekly prizes. So if you have not joined up so yet, you can still join up. And you know, if you win. You know, the week, you know, I think we have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 11 games this week, 10 or 11 games. So if you win the week, you get a prize from us. You know, so it's not, you know, just think if you haven't joined up yet, you can. So you can still, you know, win week to week stuff. So, what we're going to do, we're going to pick like 4 or 5 games. They got some, as bad as last week was, we got some really good games this week. So,
yeah, the season starts now. This was a slow start to the season. It was kind of a release out the gate. The season is now officially on. That was preseason. Let's bring it.
Exactly. Conference play's kicking in. You know, last week of September, we're fixing to roll into the October games. It's going to be awesome. So let's kick it off. Ole Miss is going to Alabama. That is a 6:45 kickoff, I believe, on ESPN. Ole Miss is getting 16.5 in Tuscaloosa. What do you think, Steve?
You know, that's a lot of points. Alabama has not looked great. They've looked really good. I think – their demise has been greatly exaggerated. But Ole Miss, they've actually looked really frisky. Texas, I know, is down, but they really took it to Texas. I think Ole Miss can cover, but Bama's still going to win. That still means Bama can win by 2 touchdowns, and I think it's going to be closer to that than, you know, a nail-biter. But 16.5 is just too much for me to give, so I'll take the points.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss doesn't run a, you know, they don't run the exact same offense as A&M, but it's got a lot of the same elements. Alabama had trouble defending that. Bo Wallace is not Johnny Manziel, but they can move the ball. And, you know, Alabama's offense is still, you know, minus, you know, playing against A&M and that sieve of the defense. They've had a few struggles on offense a little bit here and there. So, I mean, Ole Miss, I think, can easily go in and cover in Tuscaloosa. I think they can score points. I think both teams will score points, but I think Ole Miss definitely scores enough to cover that 16.5. It's a big number. for a team that's, you know, much like a lot of the SEC defenses, she's just having trouble, you know, holding teams under, you know, 30 points this year. So, speaking of A&M, we're going right to them now. Keep in mind, folks, when you hear this spread, this is what the site we use posted this early on Monday, so it hasn't changed. But this is an easy one for everybody. This is a freebie. This is like your 16-year-old. This is like your civics teacher, your freshman year in high school, giving you an answer before the test starts. A&M going to Arkansas. Arkansas at home getting 3.5. That is a slam dunk. I don't even know why we have to talk about this. I'm taking A&M all the way.
Yeah, the line I think has moved, not on the site, but elsewhere, like 15.5 or so. I'd still take it with that number. I mean, A&M beat Arkansas by 48 last year. Arkansas is better this year, so they probably might only lose by 30. A&M's going to kill them.
Yeah, without question. There's no more to say about that one. So, but yeah, like I said, once these are picked, they're locked in on this site. They can't be moved. So that's the discrepancy in that. To call that a slam dunk, easy open book. Question number one answered. You know. If the answer is true. So, all right, moving away from the SEC for a second, for a little bit. We're going to Oklahoma against Notre Dame. This one's in South Bend. Notre Dame getting 3.5 at home. What do you think, Steve?
Notre Dame lost to Michigan. And as we have learned, Michigan's not very good. And honestly, I don't understand why Oklahoma wasn't playing the belldozer already. It turns out we always knew he could run, but it turns out he can pass. He threw, I think, for 400 yards last week. Give me Oklahoma. I think they're going to revenge last year's game.
I'm in complete agreement with you on that. I want to give me Oklahoma as well. I don't have any more insight other than that. Next, we're going to go to the Big Ten, the Big 1G conference. Wisconsin traveling to the Buckeye State, getting 7.5 against Ohio State.
You know, I'm wavering on this because before the season started, I said Ohio State's not going to run the table. They're going to lose to Wisconsin. But Ohio State's looked really good so far this year. I know they haven't run into a defense, but last year they were winning games by a couple of points. This year they're winning by a couple of touchdowns. I'm sticking to my guns and saying Wisconsin's going to win this game, but man, I am not nearly as confident as I was a month ago. And this is just because I'm stubborn. I'm just sticking with Wisconsin.
Picking with your heart.
Okay. I am.
Yeah. I want to go. I want to go Wisconsin too because of the, you know, picking up the hard factor. But they're getting Braxton Miller back. He's going to come out ready with something to prove because the talk's been a guy. You know, his backup hasn't looked too shabby. You know,
he's looked awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is in Ohio State. This is that, you know, whatever they call that stadium.
I don't
know.
The horseshoe.
That's right. Thank you. I don't keep up with Big 1G football. But I'm going Ohio State to win and to cover as well. On to the Pac-12, we shall go and give Stanford and Washington State some. But Washington State's looked all right this season. Isn't Mike Leach coaching them?
Yeah, well, Mike Leach is up in Wazoo.
Okay, well, they are at home hosting Stanford, the best SEC team to play in the Pac-12, and getting 10.5 at home. Washington State's making improvements, but Stanford's still a good football team, and I think they're going to cover that 10.5.
I think they are too. Stanford, I didn't think Stanford was going to cover last week, and they just went out and just destroyed Arizona State. And if they can do that to Arizona State, there's no telling what they can do to Wazoo. So 10.5, I'm worried about it, but I'll still take it. Give me Stanford.
I'm with you. And last but not least, the game we've been talking about for the last 35 minutes, LSU going to Georgia. Getting 3.5 between the hedges, Steven.
You know, it's not that big of a number, 3.5. That's pretty much the advantage for playing at home. So Vegas views this as a pick 'em. I really do think the difference comes down to the defense. Georgia's defense it's not terrible, but it's not very threatening. And I think LSU is going to be able to pressure the quarterback. I don't think Murray is going to be able to create too much time. I think Georgia will score some points here and there, but I think the difference in this game will be that LSU's defense is better than Georgia's defense. And so I think LSU will win by about a touchdown or so.
I think this we're gonna see what kind of leadership LSU has on an offensive side of the ball to be able to carry a game like the defense has done for so many years. This is Matt's chance, Beckham's chance, Landry's chance, Hill's chance for them to come out and just run a rough shot, you know, over a team to prove that they have the weapons to do what it takes. against a team of caliber of Georgia. We know we can score points now. I think it's going to come down to who's running back creates more issues for the defense and in a domino effect, which passing game gets going as a result off their running game or vice versa. Actually, you might see LSU. It really depends on how we get defended and how we defend Georgia, which kind of dictates how I think we're going to start out. But, to just reiterate what you said, I like our defense to make a stop here and there. I think we have some playmakers, on defense that you haven't really seen too much of yet. We've already talked about them, number 16 earlier. We talked about Jordan Allen. I think they can make some plays. LSU, I like this LSU young defense against this pro-style offense. And I like LSU, who usually, minus 2004, usually plays all right now. And so I like LSU. I like them something like 30 to 24, 30 to 26, something in that range. There's going to be some points scored in this game. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. 31-24 sounds about right.
Yeah. Give me LSU to cover. Give me LSU to win. We are done. Podcast. Thank you, wherever you are, listening intently as you're doing important editing stuff for Anna Valley Shook. Stephen Baker, for joining us again. We missed you, buddy, over the last few weeks, and I'm glad you will be able to return. Take care of that baby girl.
Yeah, parenting's hard. Sorry, sir. It cuts into my free time.
It's tough. Just wait till they get older. So, I'm Kerry Muntz. I'll always be Kerry Muntz. I'm still here. We're done. We said go Tigers. We will see y'all Saturday. Well, we won't see y'all, but tune in, and we'll catch up back with y'all next week. Go Tigers. Bye-bye.
Go Tigers.